So it seemed to us, and yet we were mistaken. We had hardly closed the thornbush door of our zareba, clasped each other's hands, and thrown ourselves panting upon the ground beside our spring, when we heard a patter of feet, and then a gentle, plaintive crying from outside our entrance. Lord Roxton rushed forward, rifle in hand, and threw it open. There, prostrate upon their faces, lay the little red figures of the four surviving Indians, trembling with fear of us, and yet imploring our protection. With an expressive sweep of his hands, one of them pointed to the woods and around them, and indicated that they were full of danger. Then, darting forward, he threw his arms round Lord John's legs, and rested his face upon them. "By George!" cried our peer, pulling at his moustache in great perplexity. "I say, what the deuce are we to do with these people? Get up, little chappie, and take your face off my boots." Summerlee was sitting up and stuffing some tobacco into his old briar. "We've got to see them safe," said he. "You've pulled us all out of the jaws of death. My word, it was a good bit of work."
"Admirable!" cried Challenger. "Admirable! Not only we as individuals, but European science collectively, owe you a deep debt of gratitude for what you have done. I do not hesitate to say that the disappearance of Professor Summerlee and myself would have left an appreciable gap in modern zoological history. Our young friend here and you have done most excellently well."
He beamed at us with the old paternal smile, but European science would have been somewhat amazed could they have seen their chosen child, the hope of the future, with his tangled, unkempt head, his bare chest, and his tattered clothes. He had one of the meat tins between his knees, and sat with a large piece of cold Australian mutton between his fingers. The Indian looked up at him, and then, with a little yelp, cringed to the ground and clung to Lord John's leg.
"Don't you be scared, my bonny boy," said Lord John, patting the matted head in front of him. "He can't stick your appearance, Challenger. And by George, I don't wonder. All right, little chap, he's only a human, just the same as the rest of us." "Really, sir?" cried the professor. "Well, it's lucky for you, Challenger, that you are a little out of the ordinary. If you hadn't been so like the king—upon my word, Lord John, you allow yourself great latitude.